Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Chaf Ches. We're learning today Lilui Nishmas, a number of people: Regina Pedersil, Bernice Adams, Baracha Bas Tuvia, Laura Rosner, Sima Leia Bas Azriel. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. In addition, we continue to learn for the safety of all the chayalim, kochos habitachon, the EMTs, everyone who's putting their lives at risk on behalf of Klal Yisrael. We thank them so much, and we daven that they should be healthy. We learn that they should be healthy and safe. Be'ezus Hashem, we hope to hear good news about restoration of some of the hostages, healthy and doing well. Be'ezus Hashem, in the upcoming days, Be'ezus Hashem, and a refuah shleima for all those in need, and a nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all those Nebuch that have suffered such terrible losses. Hashem Yinachem. Okay, we pick up on the Gemara about five lines down from the top of Chav Ches Omer Aleph. Yesterday we had a machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. We had said, Rav Yehuda holds lo ovid inish dina l'nashe. A person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands. And Rav Nachman, Omar, ovid inish dina l'nashe. A person can take the law into his own hands. And that machlokis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is only in a situation where there is no financial loss. However, Hechod the Ikop say that if there's a financial loss, the person is going to suffer right now. Not only does Rav Nachman say you can take the law into your hands, but even there, Rav Yehuda says that Kuliyama lo pligi the Ovid Inish Dina Lanshe. A person can take the law into his own hands. So we tried to prove this yesterday with the Braisa telling us the din of Ben Bakbak. However, we concluded that was a Das Yochid and that we couldn't prove one way or the other what the shittus were. So we can pick up again, five lines in the top, Chav Ches Omer Aleph, Toshma. We try to prove that Rav Nachman's viewpoint that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands is correct. So, Toshma, Shor Sha'ola Al Gabi Chaveiro Lahorgo. You have two oxen. One ox goes and climbs up on top of the other ox in order to go and kill it. So the owner of the bottom ox, the one that is about to be killed, Uba Bal Hatachton, the Shaman Eshlo, he pulls his ox out from under the ox that's trying to kill it, and the top ox therefore falls off. The one that wanted to kill, the Nofel Elyon Umeis, and the top ox falls off and dies. So Potter, the owner of the bottom ox, is Potter for not, he doesn't have any responsibility to pay for the loss of the top ox, even though he caused the top ox to be killed by pulling out his ox from underneath him. Nevertheless, he's Potter. Now, aren't we dealing over here with the Shormuah, that this ox that was trying to kill the other ox that went on top of the other ox, isn't that a Shormuah, my lad b'muah, and therefore he would have to go and pay full damages if the top ox had killed the bottom ox, so then he would be responsible to pay full damages. So therefore, in this situation, the owner of the bottom ox would have suffered no financial loss, the lack of seda. He would have been reimbursed 100% because it was a Shormuah, and therefore, nevertheless, we see that the owner of the bottom ox is allowed to take the law into his own hand, pull out his ox from underneath, even though that's going to cause the potential death of the top ox. So this is a raya to Rav Nachman that Ovid Inish Dina Lanavshe and Akasha and Rav Yehuda. So it says, Lavdavka, who says that this ox that was goring was in fact a Sharmuad? Maybe we're dealing over here, Bitam, the Ikub Seda. This may have been a Shartam, and therefore he only would have had to pay half the damage. This would have been Chatzi Nezik that he would have had to pay. Plus it came from himself. Let's say the bottom ox was a prize steer, and the top ox was a slumpy little ox. And therefore, so the bottom ox worth $1,000, the top ox worth only $300. So therefore, you'd only pay the $500 damage that you'd have to pay to Chatzi Nezek, he wouldn't even be able to pay the $500. It's only worth $300. You pay me gufo. So therefore, there would have been a tremendous financial loss. So maybe this is a situation where everybody, even Rav Yehuda, would agree that Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe because Ikub Seida. So Gemara says, if that were true, that this is dealing with a Shor Tam, so then Ihachi, keep on reading that Braisa. In the end of that Braisa, it now says, Ema Seifa D'Chofo L'Elyon Umeis. If the owner of the bottom ox, instead of pulling out his bottom ox, in fact had shoved the top ox off, and the top ox died because he directly caused the death of the top ox, then the Braisa says, then the owner of the bottom ox would in fact be chayable to pay for the damages that he caused by killing directly the top ox. Now, if you're dealing with the Tam, Viva Tam, so then why am I chayib? We should say, because this would be a situation with the Ikub Seda and Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. He had no choice. Now, Tosos, in the top Tosos, tells us that we're dealing here, Bishlam Iyayu Gemoe, if you're dealing over here with an ox that is a goring ox, so Yeshlo L'Tzchayib, then we'd understand why the person would be chayib, She'eno Bohu, because in this situation, he shouldn't be all in a tumult because Vayelul Shamto, he should have pulled out his bottom ox. Avol im betam, Irie, if you're dealing with the tam, lo soka daitok shayelul Shamto, he wouldn't necessarily have known to pull out the bottom ox, lefishu bol, because he's afraid over here he's going to have a financial loss. If the ox is a muad, he's not afraid, there's no financial loss. So here, if it's a tam, shayori lahavsid, lo mesik adaiti lishamto. So what Tosus is telling us is that the reason why we must be proving over here that this is a short time, he definitely would be Baal Amamono and should be Potter. So in this situation, it must be that we're dealing with a short Muad, and therefore he's Chayib. And therefore, it's a kasha on what we just said, that we're dealing over here with a short time. No, we're dealing with a short Muad, and therefore, this seems to be a good proof that, in fact, we hold like Reb Nachman, that Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe, even when there is no Hefsid. So, kasha on Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. In this situation, shayelo l'shamto v'lo shamto. In fact, no matter what, we would have expected the person to have enough presence of mind to just pull his ox out from underneath and save his ox that way, and knew if indirectly that causes the top ox to be killed, then that's not his problem. That's not his issue. And we, in fact, could be dealing here with a short tam, and therefore there is no raya against Rabbi Yehuda. There is no proof over here that this is a short muad. It could be a short tam. If it's a short tam, there's ikub seida, and everybody, even Rabbi Yehuda, agrees in that situation that a person is able to take the law into his own hands. Ovid inish dina l'nafshe because of seida. Okay, try again. We had no raya one way or the other. Try again. Tashma. We have another brisa. The brisa tells us hamale chatzir chaveru kade yayim kade shem. Person goes and puts barrels of wine, barrels of oil in his friend's yard. And then that friend goes, Bala Chotzer goes, and has to leave his house. But there's he's blocked by all these barrels of wine and oil. So he's allowed to go, Meshaber v'yotze, Meshaber v'nichlas. He can break barrels as he goes out, and as he comes back in, he can break barrels as he comes back in. Now, isn't this a situation where he could have taken the other guy to court? And nevertheless, we see that he's allowed to go in and out of his house, even though he's going to break barrels. So, Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe, a proof to Rav Nachman and a kash on Rav Yehuda. Where says, lo, lav davka. On Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, a different Rav Nachman, on Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Mishaber v'yotze lebeistin. The reason why he's allowed to break the barrels is when he's going out, because he's going to Beistin. He has to go and have Beistin take the law. He can't take the law into his own hands. He has to have Beistin do it. But no, he has to go to Beistin. And likewise, Beistin says, well, listen, prove to me that this is your property. So he has to go bring the shtar, that this is his document, because this is his property. He has to bring a document, because the one who put the barrels there says, no, this is my property. So Mishaber v'nichdas lohavi zuchi Yosef. So he's allowed to go back into his house. No, he's going to break some barrels. He has no choice. But you can't take the law into your own hands. So this is not a raya to Reb Nachman. It could be argued that this is a raya to Reb Yehuda, that you're only allowed to go out and come back in if you're going to go to the court. But on your own, you wouldn't have the right to take the law into your own hands. So again, no proof one way or the other. We try again. Toshma. Here we're dealing with an Eved Ivri that famous psukim in Parshas Mishpatim that you're supposed to work for 6 years, but he says, I do not wish to leave my shiksa wife. Over here, the Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a shivcha kinanis under certain situations. So if he stole, for example, and he cannot pay back, so then he's allowed to go and marry a shivcha kinanis. If you sow yourself because you're in destitute, so then you may not be allowed to marry a Shivcha Kananis. That's what was Machlokas. So here we're dealing for certain, let's say, with a person that was allowed to marry the Shivcha Kananis, and he says, listen, I like her, I like my family, I like the kids from her, which aren't his, they're really all Avodim. So he says, I want to stay until the Yovel. And he stays until the Yovel. So now, Minayil and Nirtza, he has the piercing of his ears, that's why it's called the Nirtza. And now this Eved Ivri, who has stayed on beyond the 6 years until the Yovel, now the Yovel has come, and he doesn't want to leave the house. So the Yovel has come. This Eved Ivri has to leave the house. Now, there is no situation where he's allowed to stay on longer. And the master says, okay, it's time to leave the house. The Rabbo Misarev Bo Lot says, and the owner, the master over here, is telling him, no, time to leave the house. And as he's trying to get him out, the Choval, the Osebo Chabura, he's literally pushing him out, and he somehow causes damage to this Eved Ivri as he's pushing him out. Right? The Eved Ivri doesn't want to go. And the Rab, the master over here, actually says, went and was Chavabo with this Eved. Now, in this situation, what's the din? The Brisa says he is Potter. The owner is Potter for the damages he caused to this Eved Ivri. Shu Potter. Why is that? Because the Pasuk tells us, Talmud Lomar, the full Pasuk is Lo Sichlu Kofer, Lo Nus El Ir Miklato Loshub. We only quote the certain parts because that's the drush over here. So we only quote the Losichu Kofer Loshub, but the word's missing over here, Lanus Alirim Lakato. In any event, Lo Sikhu Kofer Loshub is Darshin Lo Tikhu Kofer Lashub. You don't have to go and pay for this Eved who keeps on returning this Nirtza if in your forcing him out of your house, you go and damage him. Oh, now, he could have gone to the Beis Din, and Beis Din would have enforced this. So, therefore, you see an Ovid Inish Din Lashay, another Raya to Rav Nachman, and a Kasha and Rav Yehuda. He says, no, Lav Davka, Hochmai Skin, you know what we're talking about over here? Be Avdo Ganva. We're dealing over here with this Eved Ivri has unfortunately become a Ganav. And therefore, as Rashi points out, the Ikub Seda, he's stealing left and right, so he doesn't have a choice. He goes to the Beis Din, he's going to steal another $100. So therefore, the owner has the right to take the law into his own hands, even according to Rav Yehuda, because Ikub Seda. So we're dealing here by Avdo Ganva. Chris says, really? This guy's been working until the Yovel. For all we know, this could be a 49-year-old, 49-year Eved already, right? He started at the very beginning of the last Yovel, so the first 6 years, and then another 42 years he's essentially working as this Nirtza. So Ada Idin Lo Godav, all these years, the owner's happy, the guy doesn't steal. And now suddenly, Vahashta Godav, does that really make any sense? That's the case that we're talking about, that suddenly he became an Ada Ganva, all these years he wasn't? So we said, yeah, you know why? Because Ada Idna, until now, Hava Ein Seid Rabbi Alei. Listen, he was supposed to be working for this guy. He's Eved Ivri, and therefore he has the fear of the master over him. However, now that he's no longer technically allowed to be the Eved to this guy, he no longer has fear of him, so he's stealing him left and right. So Hashta Lesle Ein Seid Rabbi Alei, and that's why, yes, he now suddenly has turned into an Ada Ganva. That's Teretz number one. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok gives us a different teretz. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, the Eved Shemosu Lo Rabo Shivcho Kinanis. We are dealing over here with a person who has a Haftias Adoni Es Ishtiv Es Benoi. He was given, he was halachically allowed to take a Shivcho Kinanis, which belongs to the Rabo, to the master. And the children that are born aren't his children halachically or from a property point of view. They belong to the master. So Ada Idna Hetera, while he was an Eved Ivri, even as a Nirtza, he was allowed to live with the Shivcho Kinanis. However, Vahashto Yisura, but now there's an Isser involved over here, and that's why every second that he's going to be potentially living with this Shivcho Kinanis is an Isser, and that's why the person can take the law into his own hands. The Rabbo can be pushing him out. And the Chovavo, and if he then damages him, he is partly because he's trying to prevent him from doing an Isser. And therefore, this is like a Pseida, so to say, because he would be doing an Isser, even though the Pseida is not on the Rav, on the Master. The Pseida would be, so to say, on the Eved Ivri. He's allowed to go and push him out, even according to Rav Yehuda. Okay, so no Rai again. Try again. Toshma. Our Mishnah, the beginning of the third parak, if a person leaves his kad, his jug, his barrel, we said kad and chovas are the same, he leaves his jug, barrel, in the Rishus HaRabim, and somebody else comes and trips over this jug or barrel that was there, and he breaks it. So we said the person who tripped on it is potter from paying for that item, potter. And Rav had explained, because there were so many barrels over there, that he had no choice, there was no other way that he could go. Now, Taimo Deniska Ba, but we had explained the reason is because he tripped on it. Implication being Ha Shavra Chayev. If in fact he intentionally had gone and broken it, so then he would be Chayev. So here we see that a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands. This is a Raya to Rav Yehuda and Akasha on Rav Nachman, because here we're saying that only if he tripped on it is he Potter. Implication being if he destroyed it actively, so then he's taking the law into his own hands. And we said, you're chayav in that situation. This is a raya to Rav Yehuda and a kasha Rav Nachman. Where it says, no, no raya here. Rav Zvid, Mishmei the Rava, because as we had already explained, Rav Zvid said the name of Rava, who I did not feel Shvara. In fact, the halach would be the same in the reisha of our Mishnah, even if he intentionally went and broke it. Not only the niskal bo Shvara. If another person came along with Bacher Ushvara, the halach would be the same, that he would be potter. Aye, why did it say niskal? Bahai Diktoni Niskal, the reason why it tells us the first case, Niskal is only to be parallel with the second case, because I did the Kaboy Lemis the Sefer. The Sefer certainly had to be talking about a case of Niskal, because it was talking about Imhuzak Bal Chavis Chayab Nisko. We said that if in your slipping on this jug, not only did you break the jug, but you broke your leg, so then the owner of the jug has to pay you. Imhuzak Balchovis Chayav Benisko. If you, the person who broke the jug, now was hurt by breaking the jug, so then the owner of the jug, the owner of the Chovis, again, we switched around Kad Bechovis, as we had said, Chayav Benisko has to pay you. Now, that's only Davka Niska. That's only in a case where it was Bedavka that you had tripped. Because if you had tripped, so then he's held accountable. But if you broke it, avol shavar, lo, then he wouldn't be chayev for your broken leg, for your ripped pants. Because the who, azik nashe, because you were the one that went and broke it. You'd have broken it a little bit more carefully. And if you tripped and broke your leg or ripped your suit, so then you are the cause of that damage. And therefore, since the sefer is only talking about niskal, only if he tripped, is there an obligation on the owner of the kad, the owner of the chavis, to go and pay for his ripped suit or for his broken leg? So therefore, the parallelism, tani reisha niskal, so the reisha also says niskal. But in fact, the halach and the reisha is, Rav Nachman would say, that you're allowed to take the din into your own hands, ovid inish din l'nafshe, and therefore you would in fact be potter even in the reisha. So again, no raya one way or the other. Guess what? We're going to try again. Toshma. We have another brisa. Famous psukim in Torah, they tell us if a man is fighting another man and the second guy is losing and the guy's wife interferes to help her husband from getting beaten up. Vekatzosa es kapa. So it went and she grabbed the man in his genital area, and the Torah tells us that she therefore is punished. We cut off her hand. Now, it doesn't mean that we literally cut off her hand, Chas v'Shalom. It's just like an eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth doesn't mean that we literally poke the guy's eye out if you poked his eye out, and you knock his tooth out if he knocked the other guy's tooth out. Chas v'Shalom, that's not bikarsis. That's not what the psukim mean. And here, too, when we say, if she grabbed the other guy in his genital area, so we don't cut her hand off. Ella, it means mama, that she has to go and pay. Now, here, isn't this a situation where she had to take the law into her own hands because her husband was getting beaten up, and nevertheless it says that she has to pay money. So here, there was no other way to do this. So this is really a kasha on both Rav Nachman and on Rabbi Yehuda, because they both said, Ovid inish dina l'nafshei, in a case of Seida. Isn't this a case of Seida? So how, in this situation, is either Rav Nachman or Rabbi Yehuda able to say that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands? This brisa seems to say that you can't. So someone says, no. Here we're talking about, lo, sheyachol l'hatzil ayidei davar acher. Here there were other ways to go and save her husband. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, on the third of the wide lines of the Rabbeinu Chananel, says, the answer is, v'shani, we give the answer here, he go and shayis v'yachol l'hatzil, she could have saved her husband below shlichus yad, without grabbing him in the genital area, by below shlichus yad b'mvusha, grabbing his genitals, b'dechifa, she could have shoved him, or she could have taken a stick and hit him. V'kiva, shahayisa, yechola, since there were other alternatives over here, the lo'azasa, and she didn't take them, so therefore, chayavis, therefore, she is chayavis. And Tosus points out, and Rashi says the same thing, Tosus says a little bit more detail, and Ramatsu, lo, b'shi yechola, v'kiva, di yechola, l'hatzla, yidei davar acher, since she could, in fact, go and save him via another way. So therefore, afilu din eino. So then, she has no right to go and take the law into her own hands. So here we're dealing with that both Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman had an alternative, and therefore, this is not a case of Seida, and she has to take the law into her own hands. No, that implies, avol eino yechol l'hatzel yidei davar acher, implication being that if there was no other way, she wasn't strong enough to push the guy away. She didn't have a stick to hit him. He would just ignore her as he's beating up her husband. So then, the implication would be, if she had no other way, and then she goes and grabs him in his genital area, in his private parts, so then, ptura, then she would in fact not have to pay. If that's true, so then keep on reading this brisa. Yihachi, adatani sefer. So why then does the sefer, this brisa, tell us that vishsholcha yada, when she goes and sticks her hand and grabs him in the private parts, in the genital area, so she would be, in that situation, chayev. But if the beis din did it, so then we don't say to the beis din, v'katzosu es kapa. Prat l'shliach beis din, if the shliach beis din is going to go and prevent this guy from getting beaten up or any situation like that, so the shliach beis din doesn't ever have to pay for the busha that he caused. So we make a distinction in the sefer between the wife and the beis din shliach. So instead of bringing us a guy from left field, the beis din shliach, you could have brought down the same exact thing. We always try to learn the din out from the same people involved in the din from different circumstances. So, lithlog, litzle, bidida. Instead, the brisa could have given in the sefer the following case and said, when do we say that the woman is in fact chayeves? That's only b'shiachol latzei de davaracher. If there were alternative measures, like Rabbeinu Chananel said, she could have hit him or pushed him off and saved her husband that way. That's when she's chayeves. But I will any chol hatzel aydi lo racher dem ptura. But if there was no alternative way, then she'd be ptura. Why didn't it give us that case? This way we have within the same people the woman, her husband, and the attacker. So in some situations she's chayeves. In some situations she's not chayeves. When there's yichol hatzil aydi lo racher, so then she's chayeves. If it's any yichol hatzil aydi lo racher, then she's ptura. Why do you have to bring in the case of the Beis Din to teach us that Bishol Chayada only applies in this situation? Shmuel says, yeah, that's exactly what the Sefer of Brisa is telling us. Read it the following way. Hachanami Kamar. This is how you have to read this Brisa. When the Sefer comes and tells us that Prat L'Shliach Beis Din, it's telling us, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, under what situation is this woman Chayeves? That's B'Shiyachol L'Hatzi Yedei Dorach. She could have taken a stick and given the guy his head, so pushed him off, and she didn't have to go grab the attacker by his private parts, and therefore, when she grabs him in the genitals, so therefore, she's M'Chuyeves. However, there was no ability to push him off. She's not strong enough to push him off. There's no stick around. She can't hit the guy and make him stop. So then, when there's no alternative, it's as if now she is, so to say, functioning as the shliach of Beis Din, and therefore v'sholcha yada no longer applies to her. She's acting, so to say, as the shliach Beis Din uptura. So again, we have no raya against Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda, and we're going to try one more time. Toshma, we have a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah above the Basra. The Mishnah above the Basra tells us, Hari Shoyso Derech Haradim Overes Besosodeyu. A guy has a public easement that is gone through his property, and people are walking on that property, and they're using that property, and he wants to stop them from walking through the middle of his property. It's making it harder for him to plow. There's suddenly a road in the middle of his property. He's allowed that till now, or it's been allowed till now, but he wants to change it. So this guy wants to move the easement, the public route through his property, from the middle of the property to the side of the property. So what does he do? Nitola, he stops people from going through the middle of the property, v'nosalhem minatzad, and he gives them a property that they can walk through all the way to the left or to the right of his field, one of the sides of his field. So the Mishnah in Bava Basra tells us, Mashin Osan Osan, this new public easement that he has allowed is in fact a good public easement, and Vishalolo he go. And he can't take back the one that previously was the public easement. So instead of him doing what he had hoped for, to move the public easement from the middle of the property to the side of the property, so in fact he now has created two public easements. There's the public easement that originally was there, which he cannot take back, and there is the public easement that he just created, and they now have two. Now, if you're telling me, V'yamris Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshei, if you're telling me, like Rav Nachman, that the person can take the law into his own hands, why can't he say, listen, this original public easement is no longer a public easement. It is now my personal property. And he stands there with a stick, Linkot Pizra V'Leisa. He should take a stick and sit over there. Rashi explains that this Pizra means that he goes and prevents the people from actually going and using this property. Yikach Makil, he should take a stick, V'yeshev al derech harishon, stay right where the middle easement originally was, the original easement was, Dodina hu, Doha Amris, Mashin Osin Nasa, because you're telling me that this new easement is in fact good. So he did what he was supposed to do. He allowed them to still have the public easement, and he took the law into his own hands. Alma Chilov Ma'ayahavi. This was a valid exchange, and yet the Mishnah tells us that he doesn't have the right to do this. So therefore, this seems to be a raya, this Mishnah above the last seems to be a raya to Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't take the law into your own hands, and Akasha on Rav Nachman. So it says, lo, lav dafka. Amar Zid, Mishmei the Rav. Again, Razid answered the name of Rav. We had this same Mandioma before. Gezeira, no. There's a rule over here, Shema Yitin Lehem Derech Akaloson. We're concerned over here. The Mishnah says, no, we don't let him take back the original easement because we're concerned that he's going to give them a lousy new easement. He's going to give them what's called Derech Akaloson. In other words, Rashi says, the Lav Dinahu. It's not a fair exchange. He's going to give them a crooked path. He's going to give them a slanting path. He's going to give them a path that is not as easy. Let's say the first easement was, 300 feet. And now he's going to give them one that's 600 feet and it's winding. And it's harder for a person to, let's say, get through. It's rockier, whatever it may be. He's giving them a path that is not the same. And therefore, this is not called taking the din into your own hands. This is doing something that is not right. So even Rav Nachman would not allow you to do this. When it says, Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshei, has to be a fair din. Has to be what the base din would have paskin. So here, what we're now answering, Razvid Mishmei Derabba, is that base din wouldn't have paskin this way. And therefore, that's why you're not allowed to do this exchange. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, Rav Mishar Shomar, teretz number two, b'nosein lehem derech akoloso. No, not that we're concerned, it's a gzera, maybe he'll give them a derech akoloso. He in fact gave a derech akoloso. He gave them a path that wasn't as good as the original path, and therefore, this is not called taking the din into your own hands. This is called a travesty of justice, that you had a public easement that was, you know, a very good public easement, and you gave him a lousy public easement in its place, and that's why, in this situation, you can't do this, and therefore it's not a kasha on Rav Nachman. Rav Ashi gives a different teretz. Rav Ashi Amar called minatza derech hakolosun. Here's the third teretz. Rav Ashi says that by definition, if it's not in the middle, it's considered an inferior easement. Why is that? Because krovel azeh or rechok azeh. Because when the easement was right in the middle, so the people to the left and to the right, they each had the same distance to walk. Now you can make the easement all the way on the left, so the people on the left are really happy. It's much closer to them, but the people on the right are very unhappy. They now have to walk the additional distance to get to the public easement. So therefore, Krovel is there, Rechokel is there, means that it's not a fair din. So for some of the people, it's not a fair din, and therefore this is not called Ovid Inish Din Olam Hashay, this is called a travesty of justice, based on when they've done this, and therefore you don't have the right to go and do this. And that's why it's not a kasha on Rav Nachman. Gemara says, wait a second, Ihachi, if that's true, Amai Shalom Lo Yigo. So then, in this situation, why can't he keep this new path that he created? How come, okay, you're telling me he can't have the old public easement be returned to him, so then why do they then get the new public easement that he made? Leng Lu, he should be able to take them, tell them, listen, Shikulu Didhu, if you're taking back the original easement in the middle, so Fahabuli Didi, so then I'm taking back the new public easement that I created, let's say on the left of the field. Why should you get both? Shmuel says, no, once you gave it to them, you can't take it back. He's showing the Rabbi Yehuda. This is based upon what Rabbi Yehuda said. The other Rabbi Yehuda said, Meitzar, Shehechzik Bo Rabin. If you have a boundary, a Meitzar is a boundary. It was a heaped up area that they would basically make a chazaka on. So once they are using this boundary, and they have essentially made a chazaka on it, so then you can't take it back. Meitzar, Shehechzik Bo Rabin. Also, Likalklo, you're no longer allowed to take it back. Sorry, once they've used it, they've made a chazaka on it, and you can't take it back. So bottom line, this Mishnah from Bava Basra is not a good raya. Try one last time. Toshma, we have the following brisa. We know that there's a din. Person has a field. He has to leave a corner of the field. Peya, a matana for the aniyim. Now, the Torah allows you to leave even a small amount and all the way up to 99.9% of the field. You can't leave the whole field, otherwise it's not called leaving peya. But minat Torah, you're allowed to leave anything in the corner of your field that would satisfy it. Midra banan, the chacham said that you should give 1/60th of the field for the aniyim. So this guy put his part of the field for peya on one side of the field. So balabayis shiniach peya bitzat echad, and then he had the field, 1/60th of the field for peya on one side of the field, but the aniyim came, uva aniyim, v'nov bitzat acher. He was designating this area for the peya, but they instead took it from the other side of the field. Now, the brisa tells us that both of them are peya. Zeh, v'zeh peya. Now, how come? If the law is, v'yamis ovid inish dina l'navshe, if we hold, like Rav Nachman, that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, so then, am I zeh zeh peya? Why should both of them be peya? He should have the right to tell them, hey, listen, you guys took from that side, so now you're no longer allowed to take from this side, because I don't have to give you twice peya, I have to give you once peya, I have to give you 1/60th. I was a good guy, I followed exactly what the Chum said, I gave you 1/60th of the field. Now, you're taking the other 1/60th that I had originally designated, you can't have both. What this should the guy be able to do, Linko Pizri, should be able to take that stick, place it and sit over there and prevent the aniyim from taking from the second payer, the one he originally designated, because they already took from the one that he didn't designate. So you see from here that the Bryson tells us he can't do this. So it's a kasha on Rav Nachman. You see, a person is not allowed to take lo of it inish dino l'nashay, it's a riot of Yehuda. Where says, no, I'm a Rava. Here we just have Rava himself saying this. Rava says, what does it mean over here? My zeh, the zeh peya. What does it mean when we say that both of them are peya? It means that both of them have the halachic status of peya in regards to the din of maestros. And therefore, the field that he originally designated as peya is not really peya. The anim can't take it. However, since he did designate it as peya, it is potter from having to take trumas and maestros from it. Lepotron mina maeser. And this is based upon the following brisa of the Tanya. Hamafker is karma. If a person goes and makes his kerem, his vineyard, he goes and makes it hefker. So therefore, hefker is potter from all of these matanos. But then, what does the guy do? He's trying to pull a fast one. V'hishkim aboker. So at night, before he goes to sleep, everybody's in town, is already in bed. At 11 o'clock at night, he says, my field is hefker. Nu, v'hishkim aboker. He gets up early in the morning, and he goes and plucks off all the grapes himself from the vineyard because it's Hefker and he doesn't want to have to take off any matnos aniyim from it. So he can't pull a fast one like this. The Braisa says, Chaya beperet, ube ololos, ube shichacha, ube peya. He, in fact, has to go and leave the matnos aniyim of peret, ololos, shichacha, and peya. So the peret, that is analogous to by the grains, if something falls from his hands. So if less than three sheaves fall from his hands, so then he has to leave them for the aniyim. That's the peret. Anything that fell from his hands, so he has to leave them. The ololos are a type of matona aniyim. They're not fully mature, so that he has to leave for the aniyim as well. And the shichcha is any area that he forgot to go and harvest, so that also has to be left for the aniyim, and the pay, he has to leave 1/60th of the field. So here you see this guy tried to pull a fast one by being mafker his field and then going and harvesting it himself, so he still has to give all of these matnos aniyim. However, there is a din here, upatim and a meiser, but maestros he doesn't have to go and take off because it was hefker. So the actual maestros he won't have to give. So even though in our case it is not really peya for the aniyim because ovid inish dinel nafshei, he does have the right to go and stand there linko pizro v'leisev, so he can prevent the aniyim from taking the peya from the second field, the one he originally designated because they already took. But he doesn't have to give trumas and maisos from it. That's what it meant. My ze vize peya. They have the halachic status of peya in terms of being turin min hamaiser. Okay, so we don't come to a conclusion who is right, Rav Yehuda or Rav Nachman. We leave it as a machlokes. Rav Nachman says ovid inish dina lenafshei, and Rav Yehuda says lo ovid inish dina lenafshei. Okay, now we go to the next mishnah. Mishnah tells us nishvru akado b'rishus rabin. A man had a jug, a barrel, that had water inside of it, and it broke. Again, it broke on its own. However, it broke, and that is water all over the Shus Rabbim. The Huchlak Echod B'mayim, and somebody slips on this water, or alternately, they hurt themselves on one of the shards from this kad. O Shalaka V'chaisis, they were hurt by a shard of the pottery over here from this broken kad. So the owner of the kad is chayev in this situation, and the Gemara will explain what he's chayev for, under what circumstances. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain this. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer b'miskaben chayev, only if he intended, we'll have to explain what intending to do means, only if he intended over here is the owner of this kad chayev for the water or for the shard of pottery that hurt the other guy. However, b'eino miskaben, if he had no intention of harming the other person, then potter, he would not have to pay. And again, the somewhat enigmatic Mishnah will now be discussed. The verse starts off and tells us, Amir Yehuda, Amir Rav. Yehuda says the name of Rav, Lo Shanu. We only said that the owner of the kad is chayav to pay for the damages from the water or from the pieces of pottery over here. Ela shetinfu kalev b'mayim. Only if his clothing became ruined from the water. So the guy slipped and he, you know, got his suit all muddy. And, you know, his suit now needs to be cleaned. It's going to cost him $20 to go clean the suit. So he can go to the owner of the cotton and say, hey, pay for my suit that needs cleaning. Elisha Tinfu Caleb Amayim. We turn to Chav Chesam Abayis. However, Avol Hu Atzmo. But if he himself was hurt, let's say he broke his leg, he slipped, in that situation, then the owner of the cot is actually potter. He doesn't have to pay at least Midine Adam. Because he can say, it wasn't my water that injured you. The water didn't hurt you. You slipped on the water. That was an indirect causation, but you broke your leg because you landed on the ground. So, karka olam hizakto. So, you broke your hip, so you fell, but my water didn't do that. My water caused you to slip, indirectly causing you to break your hip when you fell on the ground. And therefore, if it's talking about injuries to the person himself, the person who owned that cod would actually not have to pay for the person who broke his hip. He would have to pay for the suit that got ruined in the water, but he wouldn't have to pay for the broken hip. That is what Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav. After Rav passed away, we mentioned many times, Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel. So he went to learn by Shmuel, Ki Amrisa Kamei Shmuel, and he told this din that Rav had said to Shmuel. And Shmuel had said back to me, so Omar Lee, Rav Yehuda's talking, he said, after I told this din over to Shmuel, Shmuel said back to me, Michti, let's take a look and analyze this over here. We had earlier in the Masechta, we said that Abno Visakino Umaso, if a person places his stone or his knife or his package in the Rishus HaRabim, it is going to be a chiyav if he goes and somebody gets hurt on it. Miboro lamanu. And we learned out that din that you chayav for abnos, tzakino, maso from the din of bar. Just like if you make a bar in the Rishus HaRabim, So you're going to have to pay for any damage that's done because of your bar. So too, the water over here is like abno v'sakino umaso. V'chulon ani kore behen, in all of them, we should apply the dinim that we know for bar, shar v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kelim. The pasuk says, v'chiv tachish bar, o chichre ish bar, person opens up a bar or he doesn't properly cover up a bar, and only a shor or a chamar falls over there. Why did it say only a shor or a chamar? It says there, balabor yishalem. Now, it specifically says only over here, shor o chamar. So, shor implies below adam. You only pay for the damages if a shor falls into this bar. But not if a person falls into the bar. You only pay if a chamar falls into the bar, below kalim, and not kalim. Now, that's what Shmuel said. The hani mila linya katala. This only applies in regards to the dinim of death, that there is no liability over here if the person dies. You only pay for the shor or the chamar, but not for a person that Rechmon Islam dies there. Avolinyan izakin. But in regards to damages, so then adam also yechayiv. If the person falls into the bar and he breaks his leg, you have to pay for it. However, the kalim p'turim, because by kalim we say there's no difference between a kalim being broken and a kalim, so to say, being smashed. They're both not usable. So in regards to the kalim, it's always called ketala, and they're potter for ketala. But in regards to a person, we do differentiate between killing, which the pasuk tells us you're not chayav for, but damages to a person you are chayav for. Now, if you're telling me that the water has the same din as avno v'sakino umaso, which has the same din as bar, so then you should be chayav for the damages to the person. So Shmuel said, based upon this, which we learned previously, avno v'sakino umaso, mibar lamadnu, so then you should be chayav for the broken hip. How come you're not? So Gemara says, what did Rav's opinion say, why not? So, Rav, what would he have hold? He says, Hani mili hecho dafkarinu. If you are mafkir your even, your sakin, or your package, your masa, so then you're going to be potter, because it's no longer yours. Say, listen, it's not mine. However, if you weren't mafkir it, so then you're chayev. Avol hecho delo afkarinu, then mamonahu, and you would be chayev. So that's why you're chayev over here. Even in the case of the water, you would be chayev. But if you were mafkir, you say, listen, it's spilled water. What do I want from it? So then you wouldn't be chayev for the person's broken hip. You'd be chayev for the clothing because your water directly caused that damage. But you could argue here that the karka caused the damage, and therefore you're not chayev if you were mafkir the water. It's no longer your water, and therefore it's an indirect causation, and you'll be potter. Groma b'ni zokin is potter. Okay. Nadi Gemara says, Masi Rav Oshaya. Rav Oshaya is on both Rav and on Shmuel, the two understandings that we just had from the following brisa. The pasuk says v'nafal shom ashar o chamor, and it tells us this pasuk that it means shar specifically v'lo adam, and it tells us chamor specifically v'lo kalim. Now, mikan amru, Chacham learned from here nafal l'socho shar v'kalav v'nishtabru. If you had a shar and it also had a vase on its back, and both the shar and the kalim, the vase, fell into the bar, so what's the halacha? Or if you had a chamar, v'kelav, v'nizkaru, you had the chamar and a suit on the back of the chamar, and v'nizkaru, and the suit ripped as the animal falls into the pit. So, chayav al behema, in both situations, you'd be chayav for the shor or the chamar, as the pasuk tells us. However, upatu ala kelim, but you're not chayav to pay for the kelim that broke, or the suit that ripped, or the clothing that ripped, the utensil that ripped. Now, ha lamaze dome, and the Brisa says, what is this comparable to? This is exactly analogous to li abno v'sakino umaso. This is comparable to the case of the eben, the sakino, the masa, sheinichon b'rishus harabim v'hiziku, that he left in the rishus harabim, and they caused damages. So our case is comparable to abno v'sakino umaso. Where it says, adrabba, that's the wrong way to phrase it. You should have said, ma dome loze mi boile. You should have said, what is this case comparable to? The case of the bar. It's comparable to what? To the case of abno v'sakino maso. Not the other way around, that it's la abno v'sakino maso that is comparable to this. So it says, okay, so fine. Ella, so my dome loze. So phrase it that way. This is similar to abno v'sakino maso shenichu mishu sarabim v'ziko. That if a person left his Evan, his sakin or his masa, his stone, his knife, or his package in the shus harabim, and they cause damage. In that situation, the owner of the pit, like the owner of the Evan, the sakin, and the masa, is not chayev for the damages to the utensils, and therefore, lefikach, im hitiach sluchiso bo Evan, if the person not directly was damaged by the stone, but he was walking with his flask, let's say, with his sluchis, that's his little container, his jug. So then, in that situation, chayev, he, the owner of the stone, is going to be chayev. Now, how come? Why should he be chayev in this situation? First, you said the reisha is kasha l'rab. The reisha said over here that you are chayev for the evim sakino maso that directly caused the damage over here. So he tripped on them, so you're chayev in that situation for the damages, but only for the shor and the chamar, but you're not chayev over here for the kalim. So that's a kasha on Rav. Rav said, if you're mafkrit, you're not chayev. But here, the reisha, it seems to be talking about all cases, including a case where you're mafkrit. And yet, Rav would say you're potter in that situation, but the reisha of the b'risa says that you're chayev. So that's the kasha on Rav. The sefer is kasha l'shmur. The sefer is a kasha on Shmur, because according to Shmuel, you should be potter in this situation because you're not chayev for the damages done to kalim. But here it says that you are chayev. So what's going on? This seems to not be in accord with Rav or with Shmuel. So Gemara says, but the price itself is internally contradictory. It's not a kash on Rav, not a kash on Shmuel. It's a kash itself. It's internally contradictory. The Reisha and the Sefer don't seem to jibe. And we delete the word kasha, albeit it's not wrong, but the Marshal says we delete the word kasha because we're really saying over here, Reisha potter, Sefer chayev. The Reisha gives us a different thing. The Reisha says that you're potter from paying for the kalim, and the Sefer says you're chayev paying for the kalim. So what's going on over here? It's not a kasha on Rav, kasha Shmuel. It's an internally contradictory brisa. So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, how would Rav understand the brisa? Everything would be fine. How would Shmuel understand the brisa? Everything would be fine. Ella, Rav mitoritz the tamei, Shmuel mitoritz the tamei. Each of them would understand the whole brisa in accord with their respective shitas. Rav mitoritz the tamei, Rav would explain the brisa in the following fashion. No problem at all. But medzvar mamurim, what are we talking about? Kishef kirin. The brisa is talking about where is mafkirin stuff, and that's why you're not chayev for the kalim. However, the seif of aloiv kirin, he wasn't mafkirin, so then chayev, and therefore lefiach. That's why you're chayev in the sefer. The ratio you are mafkir, sefer you're not. Rav is perfectly good. The brisa is eternally consistent. Shmuel says, no, this is what you have to learn the brisa. Now that you're telling me that the even, the sakin, and the masa have the same aloha as the bar itself, that only the animals are chayev in the kelim are potter. So the Rav Yehuda, the mechayev on niske kelim a bar, that is not in accord with the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Reish is not Rav Yehuda. However, the Sefer, Lefiko, Chitiach, Tzluchiso, Be'eden, so then Chayev, the Sefer is in accord with Rav Yehuda. And that Rav Yehuda's opinion is that, in fact, he disagrees with the Drasha that we brought down, that it's Shor V'lo Adam, Chamor V'lo Kalim. He disagrees with that. He says, you are Chayev for Niske Kalim Bebor, and therefore, the Sefer, this Brisa, Shmuel would say, goes according to Rav Yehuda. The Reish does not. And therefore, that's how Shmuel would say this Brisa is consistent. Okay. Now we continue this discussion with the words of Rabbi Elazar. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Lo shanu. We only said over here that the person who his tzluchis broke against the stone, that the owner of the stone has to pay for the tzluchis, we only said that elishaniskal ba'evan v'nishof ba'evan. That's when he tripped on the stone, and as a result of him tripping on the stone, he then brings the tzluchis and hits the stone with the tzluchis, and as a result, the tzluchis breaks. In that situation, Rabbi Elazar tells us that the Baal ha-Evan, the owner of the Evan, is going to be chayev. However, avo niskal bikarka, if the guy was a klutz and he tripped on the ground, the nishop Evan, and then as he falls, his sluchis goes and hits the stone. In that situation, the Baal ha-Evan is potter. Why is that? Because keman the local Rinosin, because he doesn't hold the opinion of Rinosin. What's the opinion of Rinosin? So we had this previously, Rashi reminds us. The Amar Lekama we had on, we'll have it on Daf Nun Gimel in the Gemara, but we had it previously in the Gemara already, that in fact, Bishar Shedochav Eschavero Libor, if you have an ox that pushed another ox into a pit, so you have two damages here, the first ox that pushed the ox into a pit, and then you have the boar itself. So in this situation, Kol Hecha Deleko Lish Talume Mehai Shor, the opinion of Rabbi Nosson is that if you can't collect the damages from the shore, let's say it's a short time, so you're not going to get the full damages from the shore, in that situation, Mishtale Mibor, then the owner of the boar has to pay. In that situation, the person who lost his ox can say, hey, listen, my ox is at the bottom of your pit. What's it doing over there? Your pit killed it. So therefore, hide the Ovid Le'ezeka, your pit caused the damage. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Nasser that you could get from both, from the owner of the shore that pushed the shore into the bar. And if you can't collect from him, then you can also collect from the Baal HaBor. However, our opinion that Rabbi Elazar brings down does not hold like Rabbi Nosson, because he says you can only collect from the owner of the stone if he did all the damage. He caused the person tripped on the stone and broke the tzluchas on the stone. But if he slipped on the karka, so then it's not something that you can go to the owner of the stone and say, hey, pay up, and therefore this is not in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. That's the first way that we learn this. We could learn this statement the exact opposite way, that in fact it is in accord with Rabbi Nosson. What is that? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar tells us, Lo tema, don't say that we're only dealing b'niska b'evin, v'nishov b'evin, hud m'chayev. Don't say, like we just said in the first version, don't say that the only time that the Baal HaEvin has to pay is if the person tripped on the stone and then broke the tzluchas on the stone. Don't say only in that situation you're chayim. But even in a case where he tripped on the ground, avol nizkal b'karka v'nishov evin potter, don't say that el afil nizkal b'karka v'nishov evin chayim. No, in fact, even if he just tripped on the ground and he then broke the tzluchas on the stone, don't say he's potter, but say he's chayim in that situation. And who does this go in accord with? Kiman, this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson that we just said, that if you can't have the baal of the first shor be chayim, it's a short time, let's say, whatever the situation was, then you can go get the remainder of the money from the Baal HaBor. This solves the potential problems that we have over here. Now, already we've gone 45 minutes, so this is a good break point over here, even though we didn't get to the bottom of that, but with the two dots, it really brings in a new sugya, so we'll stop over here. We continue to daven and learn, be'ezus Hashem, that there should be shalom al Yisrael.